Good morning, Grand Rapids, and welcome to The Daily for Wednesday, August 5th. I'm your host, and before we get into a massive breakdown of yesterday's primary election results, we need to issue an urgent, severe weather alert for West Michigan.
That's right. If you are listening to this on your morning commute, enjoy the calm while it lasts. It's currently 69 degrees out there with broken clouds and a light 5-mile-per-hour breeze. But the National Weather Service has issued a hazardous weather outlook that you need to take seriously.
Starting right around noon today, we are looking at a 99 to 100% chance of rain that is going to lock in and stay with us all the way through 3 a.m. Thursday. We're talking about a slow-moving cold front dragging a major line of showers and thunderstorms right across the region.
The main threats here are heavy rain, frequent lightning, and wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour. The absolute peak of this system is projected to hit at 3 a.m. tonight with heavy intensity rainfall. So what does that mean for you? If you have loose patio furniture, garbage cans, or hanging plants, secure them this morning. If you don't have to be on the roads during the heaviest downpours this afternoon or overnight, stay home.
Exactly. Stay indoors when you hear thunder. And keep in mind, even though the heavy stuff wraps up early Thursday morning, you should expect potential localized flooding and debris on the roads for your Thursday morning commute. It's going to be a very wet, very windy 24 hours, so stay safe out there.
All right, let's pivot to the news. We had a huge day at the polls yesterday with the August 4th primary elections, setting the stage for what is going to be an incredibly intense November.
Our first deep dive comes from the Daily News, and it covers the massive statewide implications of yesterday's vote. The big headline, the one that is going to dominate the airwaves from now until November 3rd, is the official matchup for governor of Michigan.
Right, because Governor Gretchen Whitmer is term limited, this seat is wide open. And the primary results have officially locked in our candidates. Democrat Jocelyn Benson will face off against Republican John James.
This is a heavyweight fight. You have Jocelyn Benson, who has built a massive statewide and national profile as Secretary of State, particularly with her handling of the 2020 and 2024 elections. She's going up against John James, who, after two tough Senate runs, finally secured a U.S. House seat and has proven time and time again that he is an absolute juggernaut when it comes to fundraising.
It really is the marquee matchup. Benson has the advantage of having won statewide office twice already, which is no small feat. She knows how to campaign across all 83 counties. But James has incredible name recognition and a very loyal base. In a state that has seen divided government recently, this race is going to be a pure toss-up.
And it wasn't just the governor's mansion on the ballot. We also had major developments in the U.S. Senate race. On the Republican side, Mike Rogers advanced unopposed, which was expected but still notable. The GOP really coalesced around him early to avoid a bruising primary.
Which is a smart strategy when you're trying to flip a Senate seat. Save the war chest for the general election. But on the Democratic side, it was a completely different story. The primary featured a fierce contest between Haley Stevens and Abdul El-Sayed.
That race was essentially a battle for the soul of the Michigan Democratic Party. You had Haley Stevens representing the more moderate establishment wing, and Abdul El-Sayed carrying the banner for the progressive wing. The turnout there was massive, and it really indicates how energized both factions of the party are right now.
And speaking of progressive momentum, we have to talk about what happened in Ann Arbor. Yusuf Rabhi claimed victory in the Democratic mayoral primary, defeating the incumbent, Christopher Taylor.
That is a stunning upset. Christopher Taylor has been an institution in Ann Arbor politics. For Rabhi, a former state representative, to come in and unseat an incumbent mayor in a primary really speaks to a shift in voter priorities in that city. It shows that even in heavily Democratic strongholds, incumbents cannot just coast on their records.
Exactly. When you look at the statewide picture, from the governor's race down to these local mayoral upsets, the overarching theme is enthusiasm. Voters are highly engaged. The decisions made yesterday finalized the battle lines for November 3rd, and for a swing state like Michigan, the entire country is going to be watching what happens next.
And for listeners trying to read the tea leaves, the turnout numbers in these contested primaries, like the 10th, 11th, and 13th congressional districts, are going to be analyzed endlessly over the next few weeks. Party strategists are looking at exactly where the votes came from yesterday to figure out where they need to spend their money tomorrow.
Moving from the people on the ballot to the money on the ballot, WZZM 13 is reporting on the results of several critical West Michigan millage proposals. And the big takeaway here is that despite inflation and economic concerns, voters largely chose to continue funding essential services.
Right. The most prominent local issue for us here was the Grand Rapids Public Schools sinking fund millage renewal, which voters officially approved. For anyone unfamiliar, a sinking fund is a specific pool of money that state law dictates can only be used for infrastructure, technology, and safety projects. It cannot be used for teacher salaries or general operating costs.
Which is why passing this renewal was so crucial for GRPS. By securing this funding for building repairs and security upgrades, it frees up money in the general fund that can then be directed toward the classroom. If this had failed, the district would have had to pull from their educational budget to fix leaky roofs or upgrade security cameras.
And it wasn't just Grand Rapids feeling the love from voters. Down in Kalamazoo County, voters approved a 0.36 mil renewal for Metro Transit services. That is a huge deal for public transportation in that area.
It really is. That renewal is expected to raise approximately $4.5 million in its first year alone. When you consider the shifting commuter patterns and the need for accessible transit for workers and students, losing that funding would have meant devastating route cuts.
Instead, Metro Transit gets to maintain its current level of service. And we saw similar trends up the coast. In Muskegon County, voters were faced with various local proposals, including school operating millage renewals, which also saw strong support.
I think it says a lot about voter sentiment right now. Property taxes are always a tough sell, especially when property values and assessments have been climbing so rapidly over the last few years. People are feeling the pinch.
They absolutely are. But there's a difference between a new tax and a renewal. These were largely renewals, meaning voters weren't being asked to pay more than they already were just to keep the current funding streams intact. And it seems voters recognize the direct impact these funds have on their daily lives.
Exactly. You can clearly draw a line between a transit millage and the bus showing up on time, or a sinking fund and a secure school building. Local governments and school districts have to be breathing a massive sigh of relief this morning, knowing they don't have to go back to the drawing board to slash their emergency operations or facility budgets.
All right, before we wrap up today's show, let's hit a few more quick election updates regarding the congressional races across West Michigan. According to WWMT, we have a definitive winner in the highly watched Democratic primary for Michigan's 7th congressional district. Progressive candidate William Lawrence secured the nomination with 42.7% of the vote. That's a solid margin. He defeated Bridget Brink, who polled in 29.5%, and Matt Mosdum at 27.8%. It's going to be fascinating to see how Lawrence's progressive messaging plays in the general election. Meanwhile, in the 4th congressional district, State Senator Sean McCann won the Democratic primary against Diop Harris II. McCann is now officially slated to face incumbent Republican U.S. Representative Bill Huizinga this November.
And looking at the rest of the board from WWMTRET, incumbent Democrat Hillary Scholten cruised through the primary unopposed in the 3rd district, while Republicans Terry DeBoer and Ryan Cushman battled it out for the chance to challenge her.
We also saw action in the 2nd district, where Democrats Ben Ambrose, Jamie Hill, and Clyde Welford competed for the nomination to take on incumbent Republican John Moulinar.
Plus, in the 5th district, it's officially set. Incumbent Republican Tim Walberg will face off against Democrat Christian Vukasevich. The stage is completely set for November.
That is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. A huge thank you for starting your morning with us. Please stay weather aware today, secure those outdoor items, and give yourself extra time if you're driving in the rain. We will be back on Friday with more local news. Stay safe, West Michigan.